Well, I am going on, no, I'm going on 35. I'm 34, going on 35. And I'm just old enough that it's a little harder to keep track. And this year in November is going on the time when I've been saved. I've been a Christian as many years as I haven't been. So I'm just about to cross that line. And I remember back when I became a Christian that I was a youth. I was 17 years old. And I'd gone on this youth retreat. And on the youth retreat, the message of the whole retreat was really, really simple. The pastor had preached on a whole bunch of different things. He preached on David and Goliath. He preached on Genesis. He preached on Revelation. But going into the retreat, he preached on just this one single message, and that was that God loves you no matter what. And this is a message that God used to get a hold of me. It was the way that he got my attention. Because that was something I was really struggling with at the time, was the idea that feeling like nobody cared about me. And so over 3 days, this guy just hammered it into my head that God loves you no matter what. And that's when I decided to just cast my lot in and say, you know what, I'm in with this. If this is who God is, if God is the person who loves me no matter what, that I'm good. And this is the message of the cross. The message of the cross is the idea that God loves us no matter what, that God has gone through pain and he's gone through suffering and he's gone through death in order just to be able to get us back. And that's it's absolutely essential to the message of the cross. It's absolutely essential to the message of being a Christian, is understanding that it's not about rules. It's not about the expectations placed on us to live perfectly. It's about God recognizing that we can't and taking that extra step. So on Good Friday, we talked about how Jesus, through the cross, took down what ultimately was the real problem in life. That we go day to day and we struggle with different things, but there's this one real big problem that we all need to get over, and that's death. And the fact is none of us can. None of us can beat this one ultimate problem. And we say, you know, like imperfection in human nature, us having short tempers or being too angry or being too judgmental, that's just a part of the human experience. But I say that it's evidence that something's broken, that something is missing from inside of us. Because not only were we meant to have a connection with God, but we were never meant to die in the first place. But death is something that got introduced when we broke that connection with God. Death is something that got introduced when we decided that we wanted to do things our way instead of God's. Death is just what happens when we disconnect ourselves from our source of life. And as people, we get lost in the details. We get lost in these details. The next day, the next dollar, the next conversation. But we all have this looming specter of death in front of us. And because of all the bad things inside of us, because of all these, not just imperfections, but darkness in us, it brings an eternal separation from God. That God is completely pure. God is completely holy, which means he's separate from anything else that we could possibly imagine. And the Bible even says that if we were to stand face to face with God now, we'd die. Because his purity, his perfection would just destroy us. It would just destroy any kind of sin in us, which would kill us as well. And through the cross, God took this darkness and he buried the consequences of it. And we know how it is. We're not comfortable with this idea that the brokenness inside of us can carry a consequence with it, but it does. Even just becoming a parent, you begin to understand that children are both darkness and light, and their dark actions carry consequences with them. There can be permanent problems that come from temporary choices. I was watching two kids in a nursery years ago, and one of them was mine, actually, and the other one was a slightly older child, and they were both babies, but the one was a little bit more mobile. And he crawled over to my son and kind of just grabbed onto his face, and I'm like, okay. And then he took his thumbs and he straight up tried to push my son's eyes out. So I just snatched his hands away. And it's like, he's a baby, but that was a very, very temporary action that would have had a very, very permanent consequence if I would have let it keep going. And the darkness inside of us carries with it a permanent consequence. It's not just death, it's this eternal separation from God. And this is what we celebrate on Good Friday. We celebrate the idea that through Jesus' death, that this bridge between us and God has been fixed. That through nothing we did on our own, through no way that we've made that gap, that God stepped forward and he bridged it for us. So now we can approach God despite our sin, despite all the ways that we're darkness and he's light, that we have that freedom to approach him again and to have that relationship with him. And, you know, God demonstrates this in a really real way when Jesus actually dies. And so we're going to read a portion from Matthew 27, verses 50 to 52. And it goes like this. When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. And so at Jesus' death, there was this miraculous happening. And it was beyond just the forgiveness of sins. And so the first thing is it said the temple curtain was torn in two. And we're thousands of years removed from this, so we don't really understand the difference there. We don't really understand why that's a thing, why this temple curtain being torn in two is such a big deal. But back in the Old Testament, they had the temple, and they built this temple. And the temple was kind of split into a couple distinct areas. And the first one was called the Court of the Gentiles. Anybody in the world was welcome to come to this place. But it was really like the outside court. It was outside the temple. A lot of Jews really didn't consider it part of the temple. In fact, if you know the story of Jesus, when he's flipping tables and he's whipping people for making the temple a court of thieves, it's because they'd set up all these tables in the court of the Gentiles that the world couldn't come in again. So that's what made Jesus especially mad. And so the outside was this court of the Gentiles. And then the inside was a court where women were allowed to come in. But then a further court where people were allowed to get closer was a court for men. But then on the inside, the very center of the temple was called the Holy of Holies. And this was the spot where they felt that God was supposed to be directly. That if there's one place on earth that God is sitting, it is inside that Holy of Holies in the temple. And they made sure to protect people from coming in and entering directly in with God by putting this really, really thick curtain in front of the doorway. So when Jesus died, it's this curtain that got torn. And it's not just a symbolic thing. It's God saying, this massive separation that stands between my presence and you is gone now. And it also says that the dead were raised. And we tend to just gloss over this one. That literally when Jesus died, a bunch of people who had died prior were raised back to life again and began wandering around. And it says in a later verse that many people in Jerusalem saw it. So this was God showing in a very real way that not only had he rebuilt this bridge, but that he turned back death itself. And so through the cross, Jesus had erased every barrier that could stand between us and resuming this relationship with God. And that is a wonderful thing to celebrate, but it's not the end of the story. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, if all we have hope for through the cross is this life, we're to be pitied above all men. And it's saying that as essential and integral to this restoring a relationship with God that the cross was, it wasn't the end, it was the beginning of what God had in store. And there's a next verse, and it's in Matthew 28, verses 2 to 6, and it goes like this. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Now his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And this is a little bit of a funny thing. A lot of times in the Bible, whenever you see an angel visiting, they start off with the phrase, do not be afraid. So the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who is crucified. He's not here, he's risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. So the real problem in life is this darkness that's inside of us. What the Bible calls sin, disobedience from God. But the fact is we've already lost that battle, even though God buried the consequences, even though we've been taken prisoner and God freed us, we still lost. And so God won his victory. Death had been defeated and our bad decisions and all the ways that we disobey God had been forgiven, but we'd still died spiritually. This connection that we had with God that kept us alive was severed. And so through the cross, Jesus buried our problems. He buried our darkness, and he took this consequence that we've earned, and then he paid it off. But through the resurrection, through him coming back to life, he was bringing an eternal life that awaits every single one of us. And so through this resurrection, Jesus brought eternal life available to all those who want a relationship with God. And this is a choice. I talked about on Friday how it's not a relationship if there's no choice involved. If you're with someone but you're being forced and you have no choice, you can't leave and you can't do anything, that's not a relationship. And that's not God. God built us to have a relationship with us. We're not as slaves. People say, why couldn't God have just wiped out all the bad things that we do? Because it's part of our nature now. We have to choose to follow him. Because if he wipes out half of who we are, we just become slaves. Not saying that sin is an essential part of who we are, but that it's there whether we like it or not. And God doesn't want slaves. He doesn't want little wooden people walking around. He wants to have a relationship with us, and that comes with it, a choice. And so forgiveness of our sins is great. God taking the punishment for our sin and paying it in full is the most wonderful mercy that he's ever extended us. But God knew that we were still dead, even though he paid the price, even though he'd crossed the bridge, that we were still dead. So the next thing he brought back for us was life. And this goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. That when Adam and Eve were walking around, God said, you can have any tree of the fruit in the garden. You can have anything you want to eat. Just don't touch this one tree. And the tree was called the knowledge of good and evil. And because he knew when we took evil inside of ourselves, death would come. But there was another tree in the garden. It was called the tree of life. And it was meant to bring eternal life. It was meant for us to live forever. And that's what God had given them free access to. And that's what he gives us free access to, is this eternal life. Sin prevented us from ever approaching God, but the presence of sin in our bodies killed us spiritually. We lost our connection with God, and then we lost our eternity. So the cross was God reconnecting this relationship with him, and the resurrection was God establishing our presence with eternity with him. And it's in this context that Jesus calls us to follow him. This is what it means to be a Christian. So many people struggle with this idea. What does God expect of me? What is it mean to follow God? And I've met tons of people that this is just a big rule-based thing. Following God means you have to dress a certain way. It means you have to use a certain kind of words. It means you have to listen to a certain kind of music. And that's not what God ever meant it to be. That being a Christian means understanding that God is real and he's out there and he loves us, and he's got an eternity prepared for us so that we need to learn to walk with him and follow him. And the problem is we tend to seek God to get what we want out of him, almost like God is a vending machine. One thing we're trying to teach our son is whenever we pray for meals, we'll ask him, like not every meal, but we'll ask him when we pray, is there something you want to pray for? But we also say, what do you want to say thank you for? What are your thank yous? And he has a really hilarious way of saying his thank you. Sometimes we'll be sitting at the table and he'll go, God, thank you for dinner and for the plate and the fork and the glass. And thank you for the ham that I don't like. But we've taught him to just understand that prayer is this way of us saying thank you to God, for us talking to God. It's not just our way of getting things from him. And when we focus on the temporary, when we focus on seeing God just as a way to solve our stress, or just as a way for God to get us out of this one thing that's really bothering us, and then we just leave him alone after that, we lose this light of eternity. We lose this idea that God's got a big master plan for all of us that stretches on way past our lives. So the point is that God is trying to work with each one of us to ensure that we make it into this eternity. Because we know how it is, we make a choice and it's not always easy to keep on that choice. I was talking with someone about relationships the other day and saying the fundamental problem I feel people have going into relationships is they go in and they say, let's see if this works. Let's watch and see if this thing is going to work on its own. And the fact is a relationship works because you choose. A relationship works because you sit down and you go, we're both imperfect people. We're going to make this work. And there's that choice involved. And that's the exact same thing with God. We go into it and we choose to follow him. And we choose to follow him every day. And there's always going to be things in life that are trying to drag us away. We even see it today during the service. That as much time as we spend practicing, as much time as we have put in, and as great as some songs go during practice, sometimes they still get dragged away from us. And when things like that happen, it takes our eyes off the eternal. It takes our eyes off of who we're serving, and it puts them right down onto all the little things around us. And when we take our eyes off God, it becomes harder and harder for us to serve. It becomes harder and harder for us to follow when we're looking down at the ground. And we believe that there's something going on called this spiritual war. And it's spiritual warfare, that it's not just little problems, but it's the world and the darkness and the devil's way of trying to make sure we don't make it into that eternity. So being a Christian is about knowing that God made us to be completed by Him. Being a Christian means knowing that this darkness in all of us and in all the ways that we disobey God and cause more pain and more darkness in the world, that this has separated us from Him. And that knowing that through the cross, through Jesus dying, the death we have earned for ourselves has been forgiven and forgotten. And also knowing that no matter what happens to us here, God has this eternity waiting for us. He has real life waiting for us. And this is what we're all invited to through the cross. And this is what we're all invited to through the resurrection. And this is what we celebrate in Easter. And this is what I want to challenge you on, is that our faith, what it means to call ourselves a Christian, which in the Greek literally just means little Christ, what it means is saying that we know we're broken, we know that God can fix us, and we know that we're meant to spend eternity with Him in perfection. So we want that. And if this is something that you're deciding to do for the first time, if what I'm talking about makes sense to you for the first time, we challenge you, please come and talk to me after the service or talk to someone else in the church, because we're not meant to go this alone. That's the first way that we can lose track of things, is that we feel this touch from God, we feel this connection with God, and then we go, oh, okay, I'm going to try and figure this out all by myself. And it doesn't work like that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call the team back up. Not our first team, our second team. They have another song that you guys wanted to do. So, and as they're coming up, oh yeah, there's a bunch of you. I just got told this was happening, so I'm just, whoever wants to come up, you guys come up. And so as they're coming up, we want to give an opportunity here, and we've prepared communion, and communion is one of those things that a lot of churches tend to celebrate, but we don't really understand all the time what it means or why we're doing it. And so communion for us just is this opportunity for us to say, God, we know you did. We know that through your body, through the death on the cross, that you brought us life, and that through your blood being shed, that you promised us this eternity that's before us. And so we're gonna take up communion. I have to pick on a couple of random people to just help us. So Dwayne and Parker, can I pick on you? Come on up. You like me, Parker. You can't be mad at me. I was gonna ask Howard and Diane, but okay. And so I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to pass this out. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for today, God. Thank you that through the cross you've forgiven us, but through the resurrection, God, that you brought us into this perfect eternity, God. And so help us to keep our eyes on that. Help us to understand that this whole thing of being a Christian is just us trying to reconnect with you, knowing that you complete us, God. And so we just pray for each person here. We pray if anyone's made this choice, if anyone said, you know what, I choose to follow you, God. I choose to accept this eternal life that you have for me, God. We just pray that you'd give them the courage to be able to step out and talk to someone else about it. Give them the courage to be able to bring themselves into the family, into the support that comes with that, and that you would just bless them with your presence, God. We pray you'd help us to not see prayer, to not see this connection with you as a way of solving our problems, but rather as a way of you solving the big problem that we have. That through serving you and through following you that we can make it into this eternity. So we thank you for the cross. We thank you for Easter Sunday. We thank you for all the things that that represents and all the things we couldn't possibly understand about what's going on in the background. So as we go into communion today, God, help us to just unite together as a family, as a body, and celebrate the fact that you died for us and that through your death we have life. In your name we pray. Amen.